Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we have learned how to do a radio show with the Harshman Travel Radio Show. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll see that they are our favorite travel agents, and you can go and check out their website and all that other sort of cool stuff. And sometimes if we sound a little different, sometimes we might be using our backup number. So we have learned how to move with the cheese. When the technology kind of breaks in one area, we've kind of figured it out. So we're doing this one on a different platform. If we sound a little different, it's only because we're using a slightly different platform. But the way this whole thing got started is I met Pam Harshman when she was building traditional MLM companies. And she was a great person to work with. She was a wonderful, what they call upline, meaning that she was training all of her people. She was very thorough. She was always organized. She was always a pleasant person to deal with. And then when I started Building Fortunes Radio, I said, you know, I'm going to want to have guest hosts that are the right kind of people that you, meaning if you're listening in, would probably want to buy from or join, you know, and build under. And I asked Pam if she wanted to do Building Fortunes Radio with the MLM stuff, and she said, you know, Peter, we're going to be stopping the MLM stuff. Ron, her husband, and I, her, are going to become travel agents. And I said, huh, well, that stinks. I really wanted you to do some radio shows on Building Fortunes Radio. I said, wait a minute, because I recovered from that. And I said, wait a minute. People that do home-based businesses, their goals are to travel, and people that do home-based businesses are people too. So they travel, and it would be great to have a really reliable travel agent for those people that are like-minded that love to travel because, you know, that's what you do. So I said, I'm sure you're going to be able to get them great deals, and you'll take continuing education, and you'll be able to be there for them when they really need you. So let's do some radio shows anyway, and we did. So this is one of our longest-running radio shows. Now, I have a great level of enthusiasm and trust and confidence in both Pam and Ron, but you might be new and listening in for the very first time, or might be a recent returning listener. So I want to share with you my confidence and everything about working with them. So we're going to give you introductions first. Pam will go first, Ron will go second, so you'll learn a little bit more about them. And then we'll do a commercial break. And then after the commercial break, Ron is going to review some of the really great things that are happening in the travel industry. So you go to harshmantravel.com. Again, that's harshmantravel.com. So, Pam, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having us again. And this other platform, it does its purpose, so, you know, got to kind of go with the flow. A little bit about my background is I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest, and slow but sure, worked myself up into court administration, and I absolutely loved my job. I was doing that for several years until I met my husband and moved down to sunny Florida to join him. And once down here, I didn't want to start at the bottom of the ladder or even in the middle. So I was looking for something that I could do, hopefully, from home, but much more independently, and I ended up getting my realtor's license, and then I followed that up with my broker's license, and I sold real estate in South Florida for several years, and then just kind of, it wasn't my niche, let's say, and so I went back, and I got my life and health insurance license, and I sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Absolutely loved it. I got a lot of satisfaction out of that. Once you hit a certain age, your decisions about what to do with your health care when you're Medicare age is probably the most important decision you're going to make that's got to carry you through to the rest of your life. And so it was very important to me to get out the right information rather than some of the half-truth information that seniors were getting off of these television commercials with Joe Namath and several of the others that are paid to sway people in a certain direction. And so that was fulfilling for me, as well as I was always surprised when I went out. It was like I never knew what each day was going to bring. My appointment would be with a lady or a couple of ladies, and I'd get there and there would be 6-8 ladies all around a table and everything set up, nothing short of a very fancy tea party. Or I could be the half-cam entertainment, so to speak, at a bungo game, or just a couples having supper, or just a couple. And so I never knew what my day was going to bring, so I always went prepared. But at the same time, I was getting these carrots dangling in front of my eyes on my Facebook news feed regarding home-based businesses and MLMs. And as you had mentioned earlier, I was a customer of yours, and I did do several of them. I had a couple losers in there, but I had several winners, and the greatest thing I could have taken away from it is all of the things that I learned, because it allowed me to build our website. And so many things. It's just the list goes on and on. But also, I made a very good friend with you. So, hey, that was a positive all in itself. But one day when I was out on my supplement travel, almost dumbstruck, just because it hadn't been even a week since Ron and I had sat down and we were kind of kicking things around. We were baby boomer empty nesters and we had some disposable income. We both were in a position to make our own schedule. So we were kind of kicking around our bucket list and where we wanted to go first and prioritizing things and, you know, just having fun figuring out what we wanted to do. So when she brought that up, the wheels started turning, and I couldn't wait to get home that day. And when we did, Ron and I sat down, and we talked about it. We did some investigation online, and then we made our pros and cons list, and ultimately we decided to move forward with it. And we got all the training we could get our hands on and then all the proper licensures. And I think in the long run, we have probably done a whole lot more traveling than we would have done otherwise, as well as helped an awful lot of people stretch their travel dollars. So that was a good thing all the way around. And that was until COVID hit and the whole travel industry kind of bit the dust. And now that we're past that hump in the road, we have been going strong and back to traveling and booking people and getting them on their travels. And it's been fun to be back in the saddle, so to speak.
Excellent. Okay, good. And Ron, over to you.
Hey, hi, Peter. Good to be with you. And again, it's Friday night, and here we are. My background is very different from Pam's. I spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, and obviously was involved heavily in my own clinical practice, but also chose to really get involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first started out, a very good friend of mine and mentor suggested to me that I really should get involved in the provincial association. I was up in Canada at the time. And she felt I had a lot to offer to the profession, but she also felt that it would be very helpful for me getting involved and seeing a lot of what goes on and being able to be involved in a lot of the behind-the-scenes kind of thing. I find it very interesting that people, regardless of what profession they are in, whether it's, you know, dentistry, medicine, law, whatever, most professionals do not get involved in their professional association. They may join and be a member of their association. They may attend an annual convention or something. But very, very few, I mean, the number that really get in and serve on boards and all that kind of stuff is very minimal. And it's really a very different life experience. It was very, very helpful to be involved, to see the workings behind being a profession, not just a professional, but a total profession. I was very fortunate because I ended up being elected as the chair of the applied division of the Canadian Psychological Association, and that was very rewarding to me. And when I was at the sort of sunset of my professional career, I was very, very honored to be elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So it was very good for me. I enjoyed it a lot. And as I developed my own practice and decided where I was going to go and what I was going to specialize in, I ended up working with young families, primarily young couples, and doing a lot of premarital, marital, sexual counseling, etc. But very soon after starting out in that arena, I found myself with a number of clients who were going through divorce and involved in custody disputes between the two of them. And I was being asked by attorneys to come into court and speak to the whole issue of child custody and access. And at the time that I was getting involved, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion in the courts, both in Canada and here in the States, that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young children involved and there was a dispute over custody and access, in almost all cases, the court would grant custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that was a okay outcome in many cases, we started seeing too many cases where it was not a good outcome, it was not the right thing, and it ended up being very much opposite to what we wanted. It was very, very destructive. And as a result of that, the courts started to change their whole philosophy, and it started in the Canadian courts first, because in Canada, the Divorce Act is a piece of federal legislation. So because of that, all divorces in Canada are handled at the Supreme Court level across the country. And that forces a lot more standardization, a lot more regimentation, etc. But in any event, the justices of the Supreme Court across the country have very, very strong working relationships with each other. They have two conferences a year. Their summer conference is always in Banff. And the summer that I started getting involved in this whole arena, the justices came back from their Banff conference with the having made the dictate that going forward, any decisions with regards to custody and access in disputed custody matters had to be based on the psychological best interest of the children involved. And obviously that was a very, very correct thing, very meaningful and positive move on the part of the courts, but the only challenge at the time is that there was no standardized way of mental health professionals being able to do the proper investigations to come up with a determination of the, quote, psychological best interest of the children involved. So I found myself at a crossroads with a number of other professionals, both clinical social workers and clinical psychologists involved in the area, who all decided to get together and work at standardizing a whole approach to doing child custody investigations, determining who to interview, what kinds of things to be involved in the interview process, and most importantly, how to make the determination about the psychological best interests of the children and how to present it in court. And I was very, very fortunate to be very involved in that whole process. And obviously, I was involved in several thousand court cases. It was very, very heavy work. Obviously, the meeting with families that are falling apart and with couples who are pretty immature and don't realize the folly in trying to win the last battle with their about-to-be ex-spouse by using the children. So it was very, very heavy, and I found that it was very, very difficult work, but very, very rewarding work. I ended up doing a lot in Canada, and then I ended up, through just some circumstances, the ability and the opportunity to move down to South Florida and bring the whole concept to the South Florida courts. And I ended up doing that, working with a forensic psychiatrist in South Florida, and I ended up being the first clinical psychologist to be admitted to both the Dade and Broward County courts as an expert in child custody and child custody investigations. So it was a very, very heavy but very, very rewarding work. In any event, when Pam and I first got together, well, we weren't together all that long before we decided to semi-retire. We moved from southeast Florida over to southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she started getting involved in home-based business, multi-level marketing. And although I wasn't involved in that, I was very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, it was something that just grabbed both of us as the right thing to do. We really had been talking about if we wanted to travel, we better get to doing it. And the opportunity to become professional travel consultants was something that was very, very attractive. We did the research. We certainly decided if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would find those vendors who treated their passengers the same way we want to treat our clients, in terms of giving people the best value for their travel dollars. And what that meant was we had to spend the time and the energy meeting a lot of the travel vendors and finding those with whom we could really feel a collaboration and that we felt comfortable working with and promoting. So it's worked out very, very well for us. As Pam mentioned, when COVID hit, everything went down the drain, but Peter and I had a very solid optimistic feeling that in spite of everything that was going on, travel would come back bigger and stronger than before the whole COVID experience. And over the last several months, we've been able to identify those stories each week that demonstrate that travel has come back, and in particular, cruising has come back much bigger, much stronger, much more intense than ever before. And some of the things I'll be talking about tonight lead to that picture very, very strongly. So, again, I've become a little bit verbose, so I will shut up.
Oh, great information, and I think the words you were searching for is a little bit like accurate predictions, like Nostradamus. We could predict the future with tremendous accuracy, but we did. So we're going to be right back. We'll take a little commercial break on Harshman Travel.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here. Ron's going to give us the good news on what's happening in the travel industry. So, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thank you, Peter. One of the things I wanted to start off with was I received some information from CLIA, which is the Cruise Lines International, the association that all of the cruise lines worldwide belong to. And I got very heavily involved with that organization when we first started doing our travel business. But I got a report from them, and some of the information just blew me away. And I, just to give you an idea, we have talked at many of the radio shows about how the cruise industry has such an impact on the economy worldwide that, you know, wherever the cruise lines operate, they obviously go to different ports of call. They obviously, you know, have passengers from all over, et cetera. But the impact of the cruise industry is just astounding. And I got this report and just some of the highlights of the information just gave me cause to be very pleased and proud. For example, last year, the cruise industry generated $138 billion in total economic impact globally, supporting 1.2 million jobs worldwide, $43 billion in wages, $69 billion in gross domestic product, and they expected that 2023 would be a significant increase over 2022. They expected a 50% increase in the number of passengers, and that was attained. And the impact driven by a rise in passenger volume, predominantly in the United States, which experienced an additional 2.7 million passengers, which was a 20% increase. So just the numbers are phenomenal. And every time I get these reports, it really kind of blows me away to see just how impactful the cruise industry is. A number of interesting articles came out, a lot of news from Norwegian in particular, Norwegian Holdings, which is the three cruise lines, Norwegian, Oceania, and Regent Seven Seas. But just a couple of things to point out about that. First of all, Port of Miami, their annual economic impact, keeping with what I was just talking about from CLIA, Port of Miami's impact has grown to $61.4 billion, up from $41.4 billion in 2016. And that was the result of a study done to just examine the impact of the Port of Miami, which is certainly one of the biggest and most productive worldwide. But a couple of things in that study, $61.4 billion in total economic activity, which accounts for 3.9% of the $1.6 trillion gross domestic product for the state of Florida, $2.2 billion in state and local taxes, of which $1.6 billion is attributed to port users, the different cruise lines, etc., and 340,078 jobs supported by port activity, including 29,000 direct local jobs that were there. So just amazing to see the total impact and the way in which the cruise industry is getting involved in many, many things. Port Everglades, Fort Lauderdale, just recently concluded a program where more than 90 high school students learned about the cruise and cargo operations at Port Everglades, and they talk about the fact that the marine industry is vital to U.S. commerce and responsible for 2.3 million jobs each year, and the program here, the Junior Achievement of South Florida Pre-Apprenticeship, is a six-month program designed to help young people ages 17 to 24 to build work readiness skills and gain knowledge of trade industries. Students toured Disney Magic while it was docked and visited the cargo area where MSC Port Everglades terminal operates. Students gained insights from Disney Cruise Line shipboard crew members and officers in a range of areas, including human resources, guest services, and entertainment. And the closing thing was that they were really hoping that this program would bring a lot of future people into the cruise and the marine-based industry. And, it was a program that was very well received and is likely to become an annual event with the port. Norwegian Cruise Lines has been really moving in the directions of saving money and increasing the revenues while maintaining high quality entertainment and activities for their passengers. And one of the programs that surprised me a bit, but I found it very interesting, is that they revamped their entire entertainment program. Norwegian Cruise Line has for a long time been known as the cruise line that has pretty excellent entertainment on board for their passengers. And what they did was they really reduced the number of cast members more because a number of their revenue cabins were being used by cast members because the cast of the shows were so big that they didn't have the accommodations for them that had been designated as, you know, staff accommodations. So they had a number of people staying in their revenue-generating cabins, and I guess they weren't too pleased with that. But they made the announcement that their shows are produced internally in Tampa. They're high-energy, shorter shows with less cast members, and they have a large number of cast members challenges the crew berths. There were simply not enough crew berths, and the cast spilled over into